Thank you for being with us tonight. The evening service, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper in a while. The work of sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Also, we were planning some baptisms for this morning, but actually they will be conducted in about 2 weeks from now. So I think it's the 16th, so maybe you can plan for that if you need to be baptized. And we have some people working. Pastor Pearl is working on getting this on the screen tonight. There's a picture I want to show you of something that was discovered in Jerusalem that has to do with Haggai. In fact, the signet or the seal that we find mentioned, possibly it's the same one that was found. And so I'd like to show that picture to you in just a moment, if we could get this thing to work. But so we'll go ahead and begin our message. Oh, by the way, you were wondering about the Enlarging Borders land campaign, and around 4,100 came in this morning. That's doubled to about 8,000. That means that we still need 32,000, but we are very close to reaching the goal. And so keep praying. Who will keep praying with me this week? All right. I don't know if it'll be next week or the week after, but I believe that this can happen. So let's keep praying and asking God for that. Haggai chapter 2. Have you ever hung up on a telemarketer? Have you done that too? I really avoid doing that. I try not to do that. If I can, I'll talk to them. And usually if you tell them 3 times, then they'll hang up. They'll say, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Harness. You don't want to do business with us, but thank you for talking to us and things like that. So maybe you've done that. You know, that would be a hard job. Don't you think that? Being a telemarketer, sitting with a little earpiece in your ear, and a little microphone over you, and we tried something like that recently. So you're looking at a computer screen all the time, and just about everyone saying, don't call me, leave me alone. That would be a hard job. Sales pitch, not interested, tough job. The Broadside was a college publication that was printed, and in its first issue a few years ago, most of the pages were blank. A few columns were printed on the inside of it, and there's one. No one wanted to be a part of it. It's like a phone call. I don't want a part of that. Leave me alone. There was a teacher who gave a subject for a composition in class, and the subject was given this one word, what, with a question mark. What? And for an hour, the whole class busily wrote down, expanded upon that word, some defined that word, related concepts of the word on many pages of paper. And one mischievous boy, he submitted his paper in 1 minute and left the class, and he had written, so what? You know, a lot of times, I thought that was kind of funny, he just wrote, so what? But a lot of times, that's how we are. People just don't care. You'll meet people that just don't care. They don't care about God. They don't care about your life. They don't care about what God's doing in your life. I like our testimony time so that we can hear some feedback about what God's doing, that we are interested in what God is doing in our lives. As Haggai concluded his final message, the Lord instructed him to address Zerubbabel, who had been given the awesome responsibility to make sure the temple was completed. Now, Zerubbabel may not have understood all that God was declaring to him in the pages that we read, but he was going to be used of God, and he was given a promise or a signet here in this passage. Now, the word signet is a word that means to seal. It's a seal used to attest documents, and so they would stamp it on, make sure they know that no one had tampered with the document, or this is an official seal from the king or from whoever it would be. Look at our passage, if you would. Haggai, we'll look at chapter 1, verse 14. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Notice the Lord stirred them up. Would you allow God to stir you up? Tonight, as we look at this, let's consider this signet here for just a moment. And we have the next picture here on the screen. Should be the signet. Maybe it's the next one. It's worse than I thought. That's the title of our message here tonight. It is worse than I thought. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 23 in just a moment. So look at this seal, this next picture here. Do we have the picture? Did we pass over it already? Okay, it's this seal. It's like made of clay or something. They would use it to stamp wax. I don't know where it went, but it was supposed to be one of the first things. And I wanted you to see that. Years ago, just a few years ago, some people were digging under an ancient road in Jerusalem, and they came across some rubble and some different things, and they found this seal. That's the one I was going to show you. And it had Haggai's name on it. And it was from the time period of this passage. And so it was this seal, or actually, yes, it was the seal. And he's the only one of the minor prophets that mentions a seal anyway like this, or a signet like this. And so it's an amazing thing to see this. He had some kind of an authority. It was a very special type of thing that was given to him. Now let's look at this passage, and verse 10 is where we would begin. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or meat, any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. And Haggai, he answered, then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. And that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon the stone in the temple of the Lord. And the message will continue, we'll find in just a moment. He said, here's a group of people. I've told them this is how to live. This is how to love God. This is how to worship me. This is how to serve. You have a call to build this temple. You have a call to action. You haven't been able to worship me in a proper setting for a long time. Now you finally come back, and I'm interested in your heart. You've been waiting around for 17, 20 years. Nothing's been done, and it's been a while. What's going on here? He's interested in their heart. And he's wondering why, and we'll address what we just read in just a moment, but we have this need of a separated life. You see, the people didn't really care. He says, This is how you're supposed to live. They didn't care. The verse said, you didn't do it. You weren't living this. You weren't living different than anybody else. There was no change evident in your life. Tonight, I submit to you a separated life as a testimony to the lost. And even if people around you do not care, it matters to them. And it should matter to us. And friends, know this today. It's not important how long we live, but how we live. Oh, if I could just live another year, we get all excited about our birthdays in another year, and it doesn't matter how long you live. That doesn't matter. The goal is, how do we live? That's the proper question here tonight. So we need to be interested in what God is interested in. Even if the nation, even if the people around us are not interested, we need to be interested in what God is interested in. So what is God interested in this evening? We want to be stirred up. Just like these people, just like Joshua, just like Jozadak, the son of Jozadak, just like Zerubbabel, just like Haggai. We want to be stirred up in spirit as well. Let's notice a few things. Number one, God is interested in clean living. God is interested in clean living. We started to read in verse 10. Look in verse 11, if you would. Here's the message. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or any meat, shall it be holy? The priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people. They're unclean. They've been given a command But they're offering things that are unclean. They're living in a way that is unclean. And the Lord says it's unacceptable. So this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, every work, and that which they offer there is unclean. Even their sacrifice, God is not accepting that sacrifice. God is interested in clean living. Consider this truth. Touching dirt doesn't make you clean. And you touching dirt doesn't make that dirt clean. Isn't that true? That's what's being said in this passage. You know, years ago, there was a doctor, this is a long time ago, and he was telling other doctors, he said, listen, the reason we have so many of these babies dying just after birth and why so many of these mothers are dying after birth is that we're examining people who just died in the morning and immediately going over to where the babies are being born and delivering the babies. And he said, nobody's washing their hands in between. And he said, we need to wash our hands. And people laughed at him for many, many years. And finally, somebody recognized, well, there's bacteria there, and they're spreading that bacteria. Now, the first question that is posed by the Lord to Haggai to give to the people is this. Since a man who is carrying holy meat, that is meat for sacrifice, is sanctified, can he transfer that sanctification to the thing that he touches? The answer is no. He doesn't make it clean if he touches it. The second question in verse 13 is this. Since a man who touches a corpse is defiled, does he transfer that defilement to other things that he touches? And the answer is yeah. Yes, you can corrupt things with what you touch if you are dirty. Now, the point of these two questions is simply this. Sanctification or cleanness cannot be transferred, but defilement can be. You can put dirt in this water, but after the dirt in this water, you can put more water in, and until it's clean, it's not going to be clean. You see, a disease is contagious, and you can pass on a disease, but you cannot pass on health. That's the same, that's a good picture. And so consider your life and the cleanliness with the Lord, with your life. Are you living in contamination? In sin, if you would, or iniquity. In the Dominican Republic, years ago, I had the opportunity to go, and we went all around the countryside, and we had different meetings, different places. We'd go out soul winning and invite people. And at one place where we went, the people were living on a trash heap. It was a landfill. The landfill had closed, but people moved in on top of the landfill. And they would find pieces of garbage laying around that they could use to build a house. And they would erect these little houses. They would be very small houses, like 10 by 10. Very small houses. I was surprised at some of these places built on the landfill. You walk into their house. I walked into some of them and met with some of the people. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people. Just a small thing. And it was on a landfill. I was surprised, especially going into some. They had brand new refrigerators. Somebody, maybe GE or somebody, had given them a brand new refrigerator. But if you were to go there and try to get some groundwater, like many of us have wells, you couldn't drink it out of the ground because the water was contaminated. Missionaries would use a cistern to get water to wash their dishes with, but they would always put the water in the basin, the sink, and then they would pour bleach in, and they would use that water. But no one would drink the water. It was filth. It was no good. For any drinking or human use or touch. God is interested in clean living. Are you living in contamination? And he's looking at these people. They followed after false gods. They were carried away into captivity 70 years. They come back. They still are lagging behind with following the one true God. And they're worried about their houses. They're worried about, their sealed houses in chapter 1. And they're so devoted to that, they don't focus on worshiping God. And the temple wasn't done. We haven't been having sacrifices like we're supposed to be having sacrifices. And God says there's something wrong in your life. There's contamination in your heart. And he would not accept their sacrifices. Notice then, not only living in contamination, how about living in cleanliness? Ask yourself these questions. My actions, are they holy or unholy? Are they righteous or unrighteous? Now, we cannot make evil actions holy. We can't make evil actions. to be holy actions. Now, objects are inanimate. They can be used for good or evil. A microphone can be used for good or evil. You could say something evil with this, or you could say something good. A speaker can be used for good or bad. We're trying to help the choir hear the piano more, and also every preacher that's ever preached here said, I can't hear the volume, and so we put these monitors here just to help. You know, you can use a monitor for good, you can use it for evil. And we choose to use things for good. You can have a television, you could show something about a missionary on a television, you could show something that builds your faith or helps your family, or you could show something that's no good. You could show something that's holy or unholy on an object or in an object or with something that is inanimate. It doesn't care either way. A computer doesn't care either way. It doesn't matter. But what you do with it does matter. What you show with it does matter. And so we can be separated to God and our actions set apart from the world and set apart to God. It has to do with our heart, our thinking, our action. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him ye are in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so notice, he's the one that does the sanctifying. We can be set apart to God from this world in our action, in our thoughts, in what we choose to do. God is interested in clean living. Holy or unholy, clean or unclean. Look over at Psalm 19 if you would. If you want to know about clean living, we can look at a few verses here in Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. Someone put these words to music, verses 7 through 10. And it's a beautiful psalm. I was focused as we were studying and preparing for this on verse 9 and 10. But notice how verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Notice. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. And so notice here the righteousness of the Lord in this passage. It's sweet. It's wonderful. That's where we want to live. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. So thank the Lord for that. Clean or unclean. What does the Bible say about it? That's what we could derive from those verses. That's what we can understand. What does God say about it? I'm going to say this. I'm going to use these words. What does the Bible say about that? I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to talk to a person in a certain way. I'm going to really get down at the boss and tell people about this. And what's the Bible say about it? What's the Bible say about living next to your neighbor and being kind to your neighbor? What does the Bible say about your spouse? What does the Bible say about your children? Are you living holy and clean and right, or selfish and unclean and unholy? Is it acceptable or unacceptable to God? Where do we go for that? What does the Bible say about? What does the Bible say about how we're learning? What does the Bible say about how we conduct church? What does the Bible say about our work ethic and how we serve one another? Well, we need to go and see that. God is interested in clean living. Number two, God is interested in clear obedience. Now, look back in our passage, if you would, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Okay, before you started to rebuild, before you started to obey me, you think about what it was like when you returned after 70 years of captivity. And think about this. He said, since those days, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press bath or to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. Okay, so they were expecting a larger return. You know, they planted, they were going to reap something. They didn't get near of what they were hoping to get. That's what these verses are telling us. He said, I smote you with lass and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet he turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. Has yet the vine, in the fig tree, in the pomegranate, in the olive tree, has not brought forth? From this day, I will bless you. He was interested in their obedience. And friends, tonight, God is interested in your obedience to Him. And we need to be interested in that as well. You see, a life of ruin will occur while living in disobedience. We notice in verse 16 that they had 50% less grain before the temple was started to be rebuilt. They had 60% less juice than before the temple was being rebuilt. Let me ask you something. Would that be damaging to the agricultural industry? If half of what you plant and half of what you expected, yes, it is. It's a terrible thing. You know, even in America today, there's so much drought going on in the West and problems out there. You wonder where they're going to get their water, where their grape trees are going to get their juice and the crops, how they're going to come in. Well, God is interested in clear obedience. And it's difficult to be prospered or blessed if God's working against you. In fact, you can't. God says, I want you to think about this. You consider it before you built the temple. And then after you started to build the temple, what was it like? He said, before you were obedient, I was working against you. And friends, today when you're disobedient, God worked. And whatever you're involved in, God will work against us according to what we find in this passage. You see, the tragedy of it all is their hard heart refused to be God. The Lord said, I want you to tell the people, you know, you didn't have half of what you're supposed to have, but you still didn't come back. Here comes the man Haggai, here comes Zerubbabel. And the Spirit of God stirred them up and stirred up the people, and God was ready to do a work in their lives. Friends, a life of reliance begins when we obey the Lord. And we must rely on God. In verses 18 and 19, that's very clear. I will bless you because you're doing right. Your heart is right now. You are relying on me. James chapter 1, verse 25 says it this way, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And we want the blessing of God. We don't want God to work against us. So God is interested in clear obedience. A life of ruin will occur while living in disobedience. A life of reliance will occur when you are obeying the Lord. How about a life of reflection? Look at verse 18. It said in other verses as well. But notice what he says, consider now, from this day and up. Now, and tomorrow, and the next day, and hereafter, just keep considering. You keep thinking about it. You keep asking yourself this question every day. Are we obedient to God? Are we right with God? Are we in a position, are we in a place where God would bless us, where God would answer our prayers, where God would do a work in us and stir us up? Once again, consider now from this day and upward. Something that we teach young people is that delayed obedience, disobedience. I'm only 5 minutes late. You might be 5 minutes late past God's blessing. That could happen. That could happen in our lives. Disobedience. God is interested in clear, concise obedience. And God tells you to do something. The Bible tells you to do something. Him is good, not him is good. Be wrong. God is interested in clear obedience. Number three, God is interested in a confident future. Look at verse 20, if you would, a confident future. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak unto Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. There's that signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. God is interested in a confident future. He gives a sign, he gives a signal, if you would, a promise in this passage. Now, this passage that we just read, the last two verses, that's message four of four. There were four different times, several months apart, where God gave a message to Haggai to deliver to the people. And this message on our calendar would be December 18th of 520 B.C. 120 more years the Lord would work in Jerusalem and in the people's lives. Then there would be 400 silent years before Christ would come. So they had no revelation in the 400 silent years. But you still have God doing work in the first 120. That's immediately after this date, this passage. So working in Jerusalem, working in Judah and Israel. This is 520 years before Christ would come. 520 years. And so there's a prophetic promise that's given here, and it takes place that many years later. Can't we believe the Bible? Aren't you glad for that? I mean, he may not have understood all of this, and it's very important about this signet, and you'll see that here in just a moment. But Zerubbabel is given a promise. Now, we can be confident in our God because every time he says something, it does come to pass. It is real. And things that God has said will come to pass. Some things we're still waiting for, but everything else has already happened. He has a perfect track record. We can always believe the Lord. And so Zerubbabel is given a promise. Through the Davidic line would come Jesus. Zerubbabel is found in both genealogies of the Messiah. You can find him in Matthew chapter 1, verse 12, this kingly genealogy that is given. And in Mary's genealogy in Luke chapter 3, verse 27, we can find that he's listed there, Zerubbabel. And Jesus is that final signet, if you would, of the Davidic family line. Now, he was related to David. He was part of this lineage that was part of Christ. In fact, he was on both sides then, finally, of Christ. We can look at Zerubbabel as a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Even he's in the family line. And so this is a promise to Zerubbabel. There's going to be a signet in your family. There's going to be a signet to you. There's something special just for you, Zerubbabel, because you stepped out by faith and you obeyed. And there's been some that I've given the signet to and had to take the signet away. We'll find out in just a moment. But he said, you did what was right here, a type of Christ. He was one to bring the people back from Babylon. As a type of Christ delivering us from death and hell, he built the temple. And Christ is building the church even today. He protected his people against the Samaritans who would hinder the building. And Christ even protects us today. He says, I will make thee a signet. And God reverses to Zerubbabel the sentence that Jeconiah had received years earlier. Jeconiah, it said in Jeremiah 22:24, though he were a signet upon my right hand, yet I would pluck thee thence, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life. Now the signet, this seal, we didn't get to see a picture of it, but it was a kingly seal. They would stamp it on official documents. It was an authoritative type. This is authority. This is the real deal type thing. It was very precious. It was very important. They would not just give that to somebody to take. It was a very important instrument, if you would. Very precious to the owner. They would never part with it. No, Pharaoh gave one to Joseph. That was a big deal. He was second in command. Whatever Pharaoh says, or whatever Joseph says, it's the same as Pharaoh. That's what the Bible tells us to do. So it's that type of authority or that type of power that was associated with the signet. King Ahasuerus gave one to Haman. And then to Mordecai, after Haman was deposed. And so that's what the signet is. Very precious type of thing. And so here's Zerubbabel being honored in these verses. And I will overthrow, look at verse 22, the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, if I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord. It happened in his day, in a prophetic sense, going to happen one day. Christ will come back. He is the Savior. He's the precious one. He is the one with all authority. It says, Zerubbabel is given a promise, and Jesus is given a promise. Jesus is the glory of God. In Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things with the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We've been given Jesus Christ. He had all authority. And He has all authority. Colossians 2:10, ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the Deliverer. The signet, the final one in that line that would deliver Jerusalem, that would deliver the people of Israel. Friends, He delivered us from sin and hell, captivity, and from the assault of Satan. He has delivered us. Now, some people just don't care. As He looked at some of these people, some of them didn't care. So they didn't care, so I'm not going to bless them. You know, there are people around you that they just don't care. They don't care what happens in your life. They don't care about the things of God. And believer today, don't let that be. Don't be one of the people where Haggai would have had to have said, you know, they just didn't care. God told them. God warned them. He said to do the work. They didn't care. They worked on their houses. They didn't work for the Lord. They were focused on other stuff. They were focused on other things. They loved themselves. They didn't love God. They didn't care. Don't be that person. Clean living, God's interested in it. Clear obedience, God is interested in it. And a confident future, God is interested in it. These are things that we should be interested in. Don't let it be said you're not interested in them. One person said this, that where one man reads the Bible, 100 people read it. 100 people read your life. And if you say, well, I just don't care what God says, what the Bible says, 100 other people pick up on that, it could be more. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all. Let's listen to the message of God. Be interested in the things of God. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you for your good attention here tonight. Perhaps you'd say, Pastor Harness, God has challenged me about clean living or clear obedience. One of those two. I want to do what is right by God and live a clean life. I want to do what's right by God and be clearly obedient to Him. And God has challenged me with something along those lines in my life. If you raise your hand around the sanctuary, many hands are being raised. Further out, amen. Very good. Maybe you say it. The confident future, I'm so preoccupied with right now. I haven't even thought about it. Christ is coming to me. Christ is going to right all of the wrongs one day. He's going to take care of it all. I've been so focused on here and now, but by God's grace, I want to have that same confident future because God's interested in it. I want to be interested in it as well. If that's you, would you raise your hand around the sanctuary? I want to keep looking forward to what God's doing. Amen. There are many other things to that as well. However God is working in your life, get that right with God. Talk to the Lord in prayer in our invitation time. In just a few moments, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Make sure you're right with God. You come to the front, if you'd like, kneel and pray. We'll give you as much time as you need to pray. Make a commitment. Give a decision to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word and this study through the book of Haggai. We pray that you stir us up to action. Stir us up to be a witness. Like what we've learned tonight, people are looking at our lives. Help us now to be interested in the things we're interested in. Bless this invitation, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand to your feet as the pianist begins to play? The altar's open. However God is working, would you come?